Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Herrera.
Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for this platform. Thank you for this conversation today because you love your people. You love your creation. Lord, you not only gave us a soul, but you gave us a body. And Lord, we want to learn how to be excellent stewards of this body that you have given us in this very complex world, Lord God, where so much is happening. I thank you for giving Joseph, Kevin, and I simple words for difficult things that we're dealing with day to day. We love you, Father, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome back, everyone. Thank you for being here with us. We have an interesting subject today, like always, and we're going to talk about the physical things about how we can help our mental health. And it's going to range from going outside to what we eat and all that fun stuff. So I want to pass this on over to Laura to give us a little bit more insight on what we're going to talk about.
Oh, well, thank you for that, Joseph. It's great to be with you guys, as always. Well, you know, it struck me again today that, you know, one of the things that the three of us firmly believe in is that there's the physical component of mental health. And isn't that interesting to even say that? Because most people think of mental health as only being emotional. But there's a huge component of what we can be doing physically in order to have better mental health. And we're going to say to you, the listener, we know you say, I've heard it before, but you know what? There are some things we got to hear it again and again and again and again. And so we're going to talk about things like blood glucose. We're going to talk about things like grounding, fresh air, nutrition. Because what we want to do is remind you that whatever you're dealing with, it can be helped with these suggestions. You can take your health that's good and make it great. You can take it if it's poor and you can make it good. So what do you think about that, guys?
I think it's an excellent suggestion. There are so many variables to our mental health, and we have a lot of physiological and neurological contributions and variables that take place and make us think we're losing our mind, but when actually it could be a physical problem.
Yeah, I agree. I think we have plenty in this world, and sometimes that can be a distraction. It can add to our the downfall of our mental health. And so if we have an idea of what to avoid or what to do, we're going to have better options in being able to take and get out of our depression or anxiety or anything like that that can come up. So, yeah, I agree.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say one of the things that the listener may have heard or have not heard, you know, is something as simple as grounding, which is basically going barefoot, you know, on grass and anything natural. They say, you know, even tile or concrete, believe it or not, the only thing that supposedly you can't ground on is blacktop, from what I understand, right? So I just looked it up, you know. So here's what grounding is. It's known as earthing. It's a therapeutic technique that involves making direct contact with the earth, such as walking barefoot on grass or soil. It is believed to help balance the body's electrical charge and may provide various health benefits. Now, here's the interesting thing. I did not know until a couple years ago that all of us, when we were wearing leather shoes, believe it or not, we were always grounding. But with the implementation of plastic sneakers, which all sneakers for the most part that we buy today are all plastic, it's not grounding. Now, it's interesting that if the science is correct, that God has literally made it to where we discharge built up electrical energy in our body into the earth, right? And it wouldn't be just like the creator to do something like that. But then man not always in step with what God has done. We have shifted. And, you know, think about it, listener. Since it's true that we now, most of us all wear plastic shoes and we're not grounding, how much of a difference that could make in just our health? So think about this, listener. When's the last time you went walking on the beach or in the grass in your own backyard? And if you're like most people, you'll say, I can't even remember the last time.
Laura, that's an interesting point. I've read articles about that. Just don't tell the tourism and the visitor agencies at the beaches that. But when it could just be we were walking on the beach with our bare foot, and that's the reason we feel better, not because the hotels are so plush and the food's so good. Don't tell them that. Or maybe tell them that. They can put it on their brochures or something.
I like that because I came from a background in low voltage. So I worked with telephones and there would be problems if grounding was incorrect. There's going to be problems. Those are things that we would troubleshoot to try to find. If we had a bad ground, there would be humming and other things that would go on. Or if there was a stray ground, it would cause things not to work. So I think there's a lot that goes into grounding. You know, God didn't put man on earth in a sterile environment, right? If we look at things like compasses, you know, we have polarity. Electricity works in polarity. Our bodies have impulses that go throughout our body that cause our muscles to be able to either contract or relax or whatever that looks like. And so our bodies are electrical. They have isn't it amazing? We don't think of it that way, but we're also, you know, our bodies could be a conduit for electricity too, if we're not careful. And so, yeah. You know, you don't want to be electrocuted. But grounding was something I didn't know about really until a couple of years ago. And I actually have a grounding pad, if it works. That's the thing, yeah. If it works, right here at my desk that my feet are on. And it goes into one of the sockets where the grounding part is. They make it very simple not to be able to put it in the wrong socket. But, you know, those types of things, you can get other things like sheets and other things. I would love to go outside where we live and go barefoot, but we have these pesky little fire ants that are here that can leave really nasty welts on your feet. And so be careful on where you go out to ground yourself. Make sure that there's no thorns or fire ants or other things that'll get you. But I think we need to create those types of environments close to our house or go to a beach. We live close to a lake, and so we can go to a little beach at the county park and walk around and be able to ground ourselves. Where I grew up in California, my parents live on the Sacramento River, and we would spend most of our days out there on the river and our feet either in the water or on the sand and just have that environment. Not only was it a great place to be, but I didn't realize I was grounding myself. So grounding is a great thing to look into.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't even know that you had a grounding mat, you know, and that's why we talk about these things. We don't even know how other people are already doing it or they could learn, you know, because all of us at one time heard grounding and go, what? What in the world is that? Well, before we started this call, listener, I never cease to be amazed at how much these two gentlemen know. And so today that proved to be true again, because one of the things I love about Joseph and Kevin and I, the way that we work with our clients, is we always see our clients holistically. We see you as spirit, We see you with emotions, and we see you with physical body. And that's why we're focusing on the physical today. So I mentioned to Kevin, just asking him if he has any background in understanding of glucose, because that's such a huge part of a person's health. And again, we're focusing today on physical health and how it affects mental health. And I was delighted, as Joseph was delighted, to hear Kevin say, oh, yeah, I know a lot about the subject. So I'm going to toss you that ball, Kevin, and see if you might want to educate all of us about glucose.
Okay. Well, let me start with an antidote. I mentioned to people, or a good many of my clients, the need to have things medically or physiologically ruled out or ruled in, and that those variables can affect us or make us think that we have mental health. So the antidote is such. I had a lady bring me her husband once, and she said, hey, this guy is so irritable, mean. If you don't help him, I'm going to divorce him. And I was like, no pressure here. I wish you would have brought him 5 years ago. And so I give him all these things to do. I hear about how his anger and his how mean he is to his wife, and I give him all these anger management things to do. And his wife is waiting in the car, and it's a pleasant day. It's not too warm, so she's praying and hoping and expecting that the session goes well. And he goes back to the car, and she says, hey, how did it go? And he says, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I've tried that stuff 1,000 times, and it doesn't work. And I am not savvy enough or keen enough as a clinician to understand that he has ill-managed blood glucose levels and is causing him to be irritable about all of the time, then what I have done as a clinician is added to his guilt and shame, really. I have done him a big disservice because he's like, well, man, I'm a loser. I could, you know, I see all these therapists and I can't measure up. And so because we haven't taken the opportunity to rule out some of those physiological things, then his mental health stuff, he won't overcome because he thinks, again, it's true mental health when it could be other variables. And so blood glucose levels are just one of several factors. You know, our blood glucose levels should run, our healthy levels should run from 80 to 120 milligrams per deciliter. The Europeans and Canadians and the British or other areas of the world may use different measurements, but you know, our blood glucose levels can increase or decrease based upon our consumption of foods or lack thereof. We can be hypoglycemic, which means low blood glucose levels, or we can be hyper. The hyper is usually the one that's is the great problem out there. Blood glucose levels consistently above 200, and that can cause all kinds of complications, and it can make you even think you're losing your mind. And so what I usually send people to not only get their blood glucose levels, but their thyroid levels and all kinds of stuff tested if they're really going through a lot. And so you probably need you need to go have that tested, your A1C tested, which gives you an average of blood glucose levels over the course of 3 months. And then if you want other things tested, like your insulin production and all kinds of things, you'd have to go see your endocrinologist because they're the specialists, and the general practitioners or the physician, family physicians, usually don't test for the minutiae of the glucose levels. They just test the overalls to have a quick look-see kind of thing.
Excellent.
Yeah. I know that there's a lot of people that, and we've mentioned this before, there's a lot of people that are pre-diabetic, and so our blood sugar can cause different health issues, which does affect our mental health. I know that sometimes we think that things are normal when they actually aren't. And so if you're dealing with somebody who thinks, oh, everybody else is making me irritable, everybody else is the problem, I'm not the problem, you know, and what Kevin has taught us peer counselors to do is, hey, have them go get their blood sugar get a checkup. When was the last time you got a checkup? What did they see? Is there anything there that is causing them any distress, you know, to wonder if there is a internal problem, a physical problem that's causing a mental situation to happen. And so it's very important to make sure that we're healthy. I know that I have seen people, once they get things under control, they seem like a different person. And, you know, and there was a, and I'd like to touch on a little bit later on thyroid, but the blood glucose thing is still relatively new to me. And so it's going to be something I'm going to be talking with clients that I find who are angry or are in constant conflict with people.
Yeah, because, you know, and I'm so glad that you said that, Joseph, because as we learn these things, right, you know, just like you mentioned the thyroid, I should be thinking more about people's thyroid again, you know. But the thing is that, listener, the reason we want to talk about this is because if your blood sugar is too low, you're going to get a certain set of symptoms. If it's too high, you're going to get a certain type of symptoms. Now, listener, did you know that they have actually called dementia type 3 diabetes? See, this is brand new. This is scientific. This is cutting edge. And what they realize is that insulin is the real issue. But what we are able to measure day by day is our blood glucose. Our blood glucose matters. And, you know, as Kevin might talk more about that, or even if you just walk out what he's already shared, right? What the insulin and the blood glucose are working together. And what they have come to find out is that when in the background, back to what Kevin said, is that the glucose is not getting into the cells. And so the body keeps sending out insulin. What's happening is that people's systems are so flooded with insulin that it is creating diabetes, type 2 diabetes, but it's also, they're now saying, dementia is type 3 diabetes. Mm. So when we say that, you know, we care enough about this subject to share it with you because it is affecting you physically, but it's also affecting your mental health. Like, these are tools that go beyond getting a prescription for an antidepressant. We're not against you being on an antidepressant if that's what you need in the short term while you work through, you know, emotional issues and some physical issues to get you over that hump. But the three of us are very passionate to say, if you're dealing with a physical issue, you know, and or a mental health issue, the pill is not going to get to the root of what is really causing it.
That's exactly right. As a matter of fact, there's some empirical studies out there, good studies, not just from Cracker Jack teams, that suggest antidepressants only work 14 to 25% of the time. They're finding that good talk therapy and exercise and good nutrition is better. But yet the psychiatric model, medical model out there is, hey, give me a prescription. Mm. When for thousands of years, we depended on the food that we ate to get better and community and talking to our grandmothers and moms and dads. And so just the last few decades, it's almost like our medical pharmacological model is our God now. But wow. We do need that stabilization sometimes. So I'm not saying don't go see your doctor, but we have to think more thoroughly and research all the alternatives. But let me mention a couple other things about blood glucose. When I was growing up, moms put a bottle in our mouth with cow milk when we were babies, if they couldn't breastfeed or if at the end of their breastfeeding they had to go back to work or whatever, they put cow milk in our mouth. But lo and behold, when I entered the diabetes field in the mid-80s, by the time the late 80s came around, there were a lot of studies that indicated that the enzymes in cow milk broke down the enzymes that our guts made and affected our pancreas, and it led to a lot of diabetes patients. Cow milk. That's the reason the Middle Eastern people drink goat milk and various other things. Got, you know. But anyway, so that was kind of unique. And also I started to do a lot of research that ladies who became diabetes patients during pregnancy, 35% of those became full-blown diabetics after some years after pregnancy. And so those are kind of things clinically when I ask a patient or they tell me about their pregnancy or whatever, and they say, yeah, I became a diabetic. My glucose levels were off the charts during pregnancy. I tuck that back and I come back to later to that in case they're having what appears to be mental health problems. And then I pursue that later on because it could be a contributing factor. And so there's just so much and a lot of people will start in a hypoglycemic stage. In other words, their blood glucose levels are low consistently, and they have low energy. They're lethargic and all kinds of things. And then it kind of changes to hyper later on. So there's a pendulum of even a diabetes swing. And I've even known patients who have, I forgot the term, but their blood glucose levels can change dramatically in a matter of seconds. And they have to wear insulin pumps because they can fall out immediately if they're not careful. My dad, he had a PhD in microbiology and just MBA from Stanford and all kinds of stuff, very well educated. He worked in blood glucose for a number of years, and I started out as just run the money to the bank and typing letters for him because people couldn't read his handwriting. So, and then I grew into the blood glucose and then started representing his products in the drugstores across the United States and all kinds of things. It was pretty neat. I enjoyed it. But he started to he worked with the guys who created the insulin pumps and all that. He really did. He was a very, very, very intelligent guy. But this glucose can mimic mental health. It really can. And so that's just, as Joseph mentioned, we teach our peer counselors to try to get people to go for those examinations so that they won't. Because if we are trying to do mental health interventions or methodologies to improve our mental health, but our blood glucose levels is unknown, or our condition is unknown and is defeating us every single time, then we're really taking two steps back and only one forward. It's we're defeating ourselves, but then we're like, wow, I can't get better. I must be a loser. And so Satan dwells in secrecy and stealth mode. He would rather to exhaust us, attacking our mental health and not knowing the physiological contribution, so he can exhaust us. He would rather have us chasing our tail. and when I work with a patient and lo and behold, they have a thyroid problem or blood glucose problem, and we do something with their diet or some other interventions, then it's a weight off of their shoulders because they know it's not sin. They know it's not a deficiency in their faith or their prayer life or something. And it's like freedom. And so it's very important to have those things considered.
I agree, because if you have a client and they are constantly in conflict with people, where they're constantly being, either in conflict or they have relationships that are just dying off, you know, they're broken relationship after broken relationship. If they do realize that it's their health, how much of that could they have avoided and been able to? Because we all have feelings, and some people, they don't realize that their body is sending them signals, or their brain is sending their body signals in that fight or flight. And they may look at somebody and go, why are you doing this to me? And the other person's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And yet they're receiving signals and they're interpreting that in their brain to think that they are against me, or they're creating conflict, when in actuality, their body is sending them a signal going, hey, there's something not right going on. And so they're not putting two and two together to figure out that, hey, my body's sending my brain signals and I'm interpreting it as conflict, but I don't know where that conflict's coming from. And I'll give you a story, because I mentioned this before. When I worked in California, I worked for a company that did a lot of low voltage structured wiring. And we would put cables in for businesses so that they could have internet and all that fun stuff. And my boss was from New York, and he would fly off the handle all the time. And I thought, it's just the New York in him, right? That's how people are. And then you know, he would come in and he would be like all upset and pulling on wires and doing things. And my supervisor would say, go home. You tell the boss, go home. And he'd look at him and go, okay. And he'd walk out the door. And one day I saw him and he just had this smile on his face. He was kind of like, I'm like, something's different. What is going on? And finally I asked my boss, I said, what's different about you? He goes, oh, I had a thyroid problem. I had surgery. I'm better now. I'm like, wow. Cause it was a totally switched. I mean, he went from being just on edge all the time, angry to, I wanted to look at him and go, dude, what are you taking? Because something's different about you. But that was the first time, and this was 25 years ago, the first time I had ever heard anything about having an overactive thyroid or any type of thyroid problem. And I could see the difference in him versus how he was before and how he was after.
Wow, what a story. And, you know, what you were saying made me think about how our bodies are constantly talking to us. The problem is oftentimes we don't know what our body's communicating, or even worse, we try to shut our bodies up, right? We do it with drugs, whether they be prescription drugs or illegal drugs or caffeine, you know, and what we do is we silence the body without even knowing it. You know, one of the things, listener, that can be a game changer for you, it's just a tool, but you know, right now, continuous glucose monitors are available to everybody without a prescription. Now, that's a big deal because it used to be that you had to hope that your physician would write you a prescription so that you could get one. But you know what? I suspect, gentlemen, it's because there is such a plague in our society right now that there's so many people that are pre-diabetic that it might be the reason why they finally say, just make it available to people, you know? And they're very inexpensive. Relatively, you can get a continuous glucose monitor, Stello, right now. I'm not recommending necessarily them, but I know right now, Stello, they are giving you a blood glucose monitor for 2 weeks for $50. Now, if you want to see how your body's responding to the food and the drink, what a great tool. So gentlemen, I went and got one about a week ago and I was floored and I'm still floored what I'm learning. Now, one thing I learned is I have a trainer and I go to the gym and I do a 30 minute. It is an intense workout. I don't know what you think about this, Kevin, but I was shocked to see my blood glucose went to 154. That's a lot. Now, it doesn't always go to that, but it was very telling to me. And the thing is, it took almost the whole day for it to come back to baseline normal. See, that's telling me there's something going on with me. And I'm a woman that doesn't eat carbs or sugar. Okay. Or if I did, it would be 20 grams and under. So it's not like I'm, you know, eating and bringing glucose into the body, right? The body can make its own glucose, by the way, listener, it's called gluconeogenesis. And clearly my body's doing that. But my point is that it's a stab in the dark if you think that you know what's going on with your system, when what's exciting is now that there's tools that can tell you that. Now, by the way, also, my blood glucose going up to 150 is not the end of the world, especially it's not like I sat down and ate Haagen-Dazs and it went to 150, right? But here's the thing. We all know that stress has a big proponent in our health, right? We're hearing that all the time. And what I learned, Kevin and Joseph, is that when I saw it go up to 154 in 30 minutes and stay there, what I realized is my body is much more susceptible to stress because I feel like I'm a Zen person, okay? And I feel like, you know, there's not a lot that I would say stresses me out. But what I did see is that when my body perceives stress, in this case, it was physical stress, it went very high, at least high for me. So I'm very excited about this idea that people can get onto a continuous glucose monitor for a very affordable price and see how their individual bodies, back to what Joseph was saying, your body's talking to you. Do you even know what it's saying?
Yeah, it takes developing ears to listen to your body. And by the way, Laura, that 154 is the upper levels of normal. And so I would.
Yes. Good. Okay.
I would have you continue to monitor through that, and maybe not on a continuous basis, but pretty frequent basis, because sometimes what happens is being on the upper end of normal, the next year or year or two after that, you mentioned pre-diabetes, it could even go higher. Hopefully, I'm not trying to curse you, but that's just the way our bodies are. But you know, many times I've mentioned strategies of our enemy, and I think our enemy has inspired the food industry the last 6 or 7 decades to start making our foods atrocious. About probably 55 to 60% of things we buy in the grocery store is worthless, our children. You know, how many of us have given our children cereals that basically is a sugar block? And so our bodies get out of whack from the beginning dealing with sugar, and it's sugar overload. And then we have obesity. And then one of the ways we can have diabetes is we weigh too much as a people. And then there's not enough insulin that our pancreas are making that can go around to help our entire body. And so one of the things that a diabetes nurse will do, or a dietitian will do, is try to help a person lower their body weight as a frontline through nutrition, exercise, and various other things. So I think it's but a couple thousand things that our enemy is doing constantly, disrupting our food intake and polluting it, and creating it to be carbohydrate based rather than a healthy, balanced diet. You know, the more carbohydrates we eat, the more we want, and the more dysfunctional our body gets, and therefore has a negative impact on our mental health. But Joseph mentioned thyroid. That is a very important thing, too. I don't know the source, but I'm going to quote a statistic. Joseph's probably heard it a number of times. But 38% of Americans who have anxiety and depression, 38%. That's, I don't know what we're up to now, Joseph, 300 something million. That's 100, 120 million Americans have a thyroid problem.
Wow.
And so that is causing our anxiety and depression. Now, I don't know what's contributing to the hypo and the hyperthyroidism, but it is. And it's like Joseph mentioned, it really disrupts a person's behavior and emotional patterns. My mom has a hyperthyroidism problem that she discovered about a week ago. And her personality is changing a little bit, not because she wants it to or she has a mental health problem. She has a physiological contribution. So she's getting that regulated and so on. She's not a tirade person or anything. But isn't that amazing? Over 120 million Americans. And I've even talked to people and they, how'd you know? I knew it wasn't in my head, but my doctor wouldn't. And it takes more than going to a general physician or a family doctor, because they're only doing tests on certain aspects of the thyroid instead of the full panel. And I'm not going to go mentioning the different aspects of that panel because I'm not an endocrinologist, but one might need a endocrinologist to check these out. A general physician will do a blood assay, or you'll go to a phlebotomist or in their practice, or go to a LabCorp type company or something. And there's other companies. I'm not just advertising LabCorp. And the doctor will get the results and they'll say, hey, your thyroid's doing fine. Well, it may not be. They're only testing one aspect of your thyroid, and there's 10 other aspects. And so an endocrinologist would have the ability and the know-how to do that. And it's amazing. And if it's happening to us, well, it may not be happening the same proportion to a lot of the other countries, because they probably don't eat as much trash as we do, or there may not be as many contributing factors. But that's terrible. These people are having the anxiety and depression. And again, when I reveal that to people, and they have those things ruled in or ruled out, a lot of times they find out that it is contributing and it's a weight off of their shoulders because they know it's not mental health. And, you know, again, I think the devil would have us chasing our tails in exhaustion and not knowing what is causing these things, so he can totally just wear us out rather than going to the truth of the matter. So, again, as Joseph mentioned, that's one of the basic things we do on our team is to try to encourage people to get those physical examinations, thorough physical examinations.
Join us next week for part two. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.